It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's switch gears to begin second hour of the program. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. John Glennon, Glennon Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. Titans writer for SI.com. Johnny, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. A little OTA action a couple days ago. You know, last year, after losing Jonnu Smith, the tight end position, not very effective. But they did go out and bring in Austin Hooper. How big of a difference do you think he can make? And do you think he can be, kind of give them the production they had when they had Jonnu Smith?
I think certainly the potential is there, you know, given what his track record has been. Now, you know, maybe the last year or so in Cleveland, the numbers were down a bit, but he has shown that he can be a big-time pass catcher. You know, what he did with a pass-heavy offense in Atlanta, you know, previous to his move to Cleveland. And, you know, I like what Ryan Tannehill and Austin Hooper are saying about one another. You know, there certainly seems to be that chemistry forming, that connection forming that is so important. And, you know, I like what Mike Vrabel said about Austin Hooper and his attitude earlier this week. You know, he raised an example of Austin Hooper being out doing a charity in California for foster children at some point last week. In order to make an OTA, which I believe was the next day, he took a red eye back from California and was back out on the field for that OTA. So, you know, that's a very good sign also. And I think that, you know, more production at the tight end position is certainly something that the Titans needed very much. And Hooper kind of gives them that guy that can be both a pretty decent blocker and a good pass catcher, I think.
They lost Rashad Weaver to injury last year, so there was so much hype and everybody loved the pick, but we really didn't get to see it play out. How much do you think they're counting on him, and how much? What's realistic of what he can do to help that defensive front?
Yeah, you know, it's always such a interesting question with guys coming back from significant injuries. You know, that first full year back, do you get the full 100%, or is it still a work in progress? You know, but I think it was certainly encouraging to see Rashad Weaver out there on the field the other day. You know, he was not wearing a brace. He didn't look to be significantly hampered. And, you know, he's a guy that certainly flashed at times, you know, whether it was in training camp or some preseason. You know, I think there were some good things to like going forward. Now, is he necessarily going to be huge quarterback sack type guy, you know, pass rusher? I'm not sure that he'll ever put up huge numbers in that regard, but I think he's a really good kind of a two-way edge guy in that he has some size. You know, he's a guy that's going to be able to set the edge against the run from time to time too. So I'm curious as to what, you know, if he can build on that sort of early potential that we saw before he got hurt last year.
Can you comment on Treylon Burks' allergy situation? Would you care to elaborate? Mike Vrabel did not elaborate.
No, there's not been a lot of elaboration so far on Treylon Burks, which, you know, certainly to me qualifies as the biggest mystery so far of this offseason. And, you know, it may be a case where, you know, a month from now or 2 months, you know, it's no issue. You know, everything is fine for Treylon Burks. But at the same time, you know, I think it's fair certainly to raise the question when your first-round draft pick doesn't make it through the first drill of the first day of rookie minicamp, you know, before becoming exhausted and having to leave the field. And then what sort of complicates it, at least in my mind, and I am certainly no doctor, you know, he was seen using an inhaler, you know, after he left the field that first day as well. And that, at least to me, I guess, raises the possibility that it's maybe not just being, you know, out of condition, as is the easy speculation, that maybe there's something more to this, you know, whether it's asthma, you know, we don't know. But what we do know is that in the three times that the media has seen Treylon Burks, he has not been a full participant in any of those situations. And you know, you can't just sweep that under the rug and say it's no big deal at this point, because he's a guy that's going to be counted on immediately, you know, with A.J. Brown gone. And also, you can't help but wonder, you know, or think that the Titans have gotten very little production out of their last two first-round draft picks for very different reasons. Wow. So that naturally comes to mind. Again, it's very, very early, but, you know, it is unusual and unexpected that we haven't seen Treylon Burks being a full participant like a lot of his peers out there.
I feel like I'm on an island by myself. Well, maybe with Wilson. I feel like Tom Hanks on Dylan Radins. I really do. I kind of feel like he should be the left guard. He should be Roger Saffold. But I feel like everybody's saying he's going to be the right tackle. There's a lot of questions about Radins coming into this season. There's a lot of pressure for this guy to play. You know, there was so much made of that pick, and he was almost a zero last year, even though he played in the San Francisco game and did okay. Where do you think ultimately is he going to be the right tackle? What do you think he is in their plans?
You know, I think at this point, you know, I mean, we know what Mike Vrabel said at the combine, and that was a couple months ago, and he was asked if Radins, you know, was ready to at that point to step in and be a starter, and he said no, not at that point. Now, granted, we have months remaining before the start of the season, but I just don't know if there's anything to base a lot of confidence in Dylan Radins at this point based on what we saw. You know, he played really in significantly in one game. He did okay for himself. You know, but when you look at the playoff game, the last time the Titans played, again, Dylan Radins was a healthy scratch, you know, behind eight or nine other offensive linemen that day. So, you know, not necessarily a great sign. Certainly his background in college was at tackle. You know, I honestly, right now, I still think he's kind of a reserve guy, kind of a swing reserve guy. You know, and you don't like to say that about a second-round draft pick, and maybe Radins will prove me wrong, you know, as the season approaches. But as of right now, I just, again, I don't see much to base you know, speculation that he might be a starter at either position right now, to be honest with you.
Jeez. It's not promising, yeah, again, John. It's not promising.
It's not. And again, this is early, you know. You know, we're not in training camp, anything like that. But I just, based on what we saw last year, you know, I don't really see how you can make that jump and say, okay, yeah, clearly this guy is on a path to become a starter. Now, you know, again, maybe that changes. We'll see.
Talking to John Glennon. John, give us your thoughts on, I don't know if you got a chance, because he was, I think, outside, but Taylor Lewan, to me, always is interesting to have conversation with, but I found this one especially insightful and sort of shared without, you know, going real crazy about it, but said, look, it sounded like he got some form of therapy last year to get through the tough times, dealing with the knee, getting booed. And he said football wasn't fun. He said I had to talk to some people about it. I thought that was interesting.
I would agree with you. I think this is stacking up as a big season for getting counseling help. You know, we've heard that from Taylor Lewan, and certainly we heard that from Ryan Tannehill as well. And hey, if that helps, you know, there's a lot of pressure in these jobs, and you go through some difficult times. So hey, you know, good on them for getting help, especially if it's productive. But you know, I thought, you know, Taylor Lewan being here, you know, in you know, sessions that weren't voluntary is a big step. I think he did it for two reasons. One, because he wants to bounce back from what was not his best season. And, you know, I think he's certainly very excited about, you know, kind of the second year away from the ACL. He feels like he's getting a much better off season and you know, really is more encouraged looking forward. And then the other reason he said that he came back too, he sort of felt an obligation to some of the younger guys, the rookies, to kind of help them out. You know, I don't know whether to use the word mentor or not, because that's a sticky subject. But, you know, I watched Taylor Lewan during, you know, some of the offensive line drills, and he was clearly, you know, kind of pulling, you know, Petit Frere aside or Dylan Raiden's aside at times and, you know, offering some pointers. So I was impressed by that aspect of his performance, too, and the fact that he said afterwards that, you know, I've kind of shied away at times of trying to be a leader, and that's something I'd like to work on as well.
It's hard to read sometimes because he's fun-loving outwardly. You know, he's always colorful when he's talking, charismatic. But I think there was kind of a serious message in there, you know, which I think is great. I think it's a sign of maturity, a sign of, you know, the times, where I think it's a smart asset to use talking to somebody about it. Here's what's going through my mind right now. I want to get stronger mentally here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we in the media, you know, all know to a very small degree how tough, you know, a social media can be at times, and taking criticism. Well, you know, multiply that by 100 or 1,000 or whatever, and you get an idea maybe of what some of these athletes go through after they struggle. And you know, if they happen to get on Twitter or any other form of social media, they're getting hammered at times. And, you know, they're facing things that athletes of a past generation never had to deal with. So, you know, I think we've seen a real priority in recent years put on mental health and you know, kind of taking away the stigma of getting help. Ryan Tannehill was very revealing, I thought, in the fact that he dealt with, you know, some type of counselor or therapist. And I think he has been, you know, he to me seems like a very unburdened, more open guy. So I think, you know, clearly that has helped him. And I certainly think the same for Taylor Lewan. You know, he, as we say, you don't run into Taylor Lewan in a bad mood very often, but certainly he seems very encouraged, very enthusiastic, you know, about having a better season this year.
John, appreciate the visit as always. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that is John Glennon. Good stuff from him talking about the Titans. And, of course, he writes for them or writes about them on SI.com. We'll come back and continue that discussion. I do think it is an interesting subject that Taylor Lewan talked about. So we'll delve into that on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3. Our deal of the week, Nashville B-Cycle. Nashville B-Cycle has been Music City's station-based bike share system since 2013. Get half off monthly passes to Nashville B-Cycle, where you can enjoy unlimited 60-minute rides for 30 days. Now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Oh, no. Oh, no. Ray Liotta has died. 67 years old. Oh, man. Wow. Goodfellas, Field of Dreams. Long list of movies. Man, that is just coming out.
Had he been sick? I didn't know that.
I don't know. I'm literally just seeing it as people are, rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Wow. Man, that stinks. I don't know any details. I just know he's 67 years old. You know, man, it's too bad. I don't see if he had been dealing with something. Like I said, it's all starting to just come out right now. Just wanted to pass that along. So let's talk about, you brought up Taylor Lewan. Let's discuss that. What jumped out? Because clearly this kind of struck a chord with you. And I know Elijah's looking for it. I don't think I want us to play it so people can hear exactly what he said, but I don't know if we have it currently right now.
I listened to it on the morning show yesterday. They played part of it. As usual, when he starts talking, starts holding court, he's engaging, right? He always has been that. But I liked that while being engaging, you can see the maturity and the desire for him to keep improving and keep growing as a pro. I think there were times in the past where his desire to be the fun-loving guy could get him in trouble because he wasn't thinking sometimes. And I think that sort of sometimes you could say going way back, it played out in the field sometimes, just not being able to sort of contain the emotion, the energy. But I thought it was a really good sign as he was talking about it yesterday. He goes, look, he was basically saying, look, I thrive on energy, having fun playing the game, enthusiasm. But he said it was hard last year. I wasn't having a lot of fun. And he said, you know, he used some expletives in there that they did a good job of beeping out. But he said it stunk. You know, the booing, the trying to come back from the knee injury. And he said that's why he's got some vigor this year. He can actually work on his craft here. He's not having to go through the physical therapy that he did last year. And so he wants to be better. He said, one of my strengths is being able to get down the field and finish blocks and open up that second level. And he says, I just couldn't do it last year. So he thinks there's a big upside in his game. Certainly the team, by bringing him back another year, we talked about it a lot during the course of last season, there was an opportunity to get out of that deal if they wanted to, but they have faith in him. But I think the biggest thing I took out of it, which is what I asked John about, is, you know, and nobody really followed up and like they did with A.J. Brown back during the season last season and with Ryan Tannehill in the really long press conference that was overshadowed by the mentor thing. You know, Ryan Tannehill said, look, he went through some therapy. He talked to somebody about getting out of, as he called it, the dark place. I got a sense that Taylor Lewan did something on some level with the mental health, the mental strength part of it. And I think so many times it still has a stigma of some sort of weakness or deficiency, but it shouldn't be looked on that way. I think it's a sign of a person that wants to address something and get stronger because of it. And I hope that's the case. I really like when guys like that will offer that, because again, that also empowers others in other walks of life, sports and other fields, to go talk to somebody. You know, if you're troubled with something and you're in a tough place, go talk to somebody. I thought that was cool.
I think what happens, and this is just, you know, this is not I'm trying to be a blanket statement because I know that's not the case, but I think it is the case for some and maybe a lot. I think a lot of professional athletes, and I think a lot of people, whether it's, you know, musicians or whatever, it's obviously it's an avenue to speak with the fans. But I think they get on there, you know, as it's an outlet. It's an outlet to talk to fans. It's an outlet to also be loved. But as we find out in quick fashion, it is also an outlet for social media, especially Twitter, you know, for a lot of hate, a lot of venom, a lot of people hiding behind. It's so easy on Twitter, right, to hide behind stuff and just say whatever you want with no repercussions. And I think that's really, I mean, it's like the whole A.J. Brown stuff we've talked about. I think A.J. Brown got on there, you know, good intentions, and then the minute, but then people, it also gives people a forum to lash out at you. And I think he obviously has had a difficult time dealing with that. A lot of times these guys in college, they don't really deal with the adversity when it comes to that aspect, right? It's a lot of times they're sheltered in their cocoon on their college campus, and they're viewed as, you know, stars, and they're beloved by everybody. And so all they know is love, 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 love. And then they get out of that cocoon, and then they realize, oh, not everybody loves me, and now people are saying mean things to me. Now people, and so I think it's hard. Look, I'll give you an example. I think Vince Young really struggled with that when he was the quarterback here. I think in Austin, Texas, he walked on water, and I don't think he had ever heard an ill word toward him, or if there was something directed toward him, it never got to him in Austin, Texas. It was like, you know, a shield. They had a shield. They're Wonder Woman's bracelets. I mean, he never heard that stuff. And then he got out of that cocoon in Austin, and then he had to deal with, you know, people saying stuff. And I think he really, really struggled with that, whether it was talk radio, whatever it was. And I do think that, you know, it is a, I don't know, a wake-up call. It's just something that probably socks you right in the face if you're not used to it. You know, especially in these SEC schools, or in Taylor Lewan's case, he was at Michigan. That's a huge fan base. These players that play for these huge fan bases, typically all they get is love, love, love. And then they get out of that, and they become a professional, and then there's people coming from all over the place. And it's typically, you know, it's typically not your fan base. It's fan bases of other teams, right, that love nothing more than to take shots at you, right? And I think some guys can just tune it out better than others, and some can't. I think A.J. Brown is struggling with that. I mean, what else could you say for a guy that tweets and then deletes?
I think the more tweets you put yourself out there on social media, and I would put Taylor Lewan.
Well, Taylor Lewan is in
that.
The deep end. He's not just out there. He's in the deep end.
The more you do that, the more attention you're going to get. And when you get a lot of attention, there is going to be a lot of criticism. And some is unfounded. And on social media, it's nasty. It's not constructive most of the time. So that's a lot that can weigh on a person. So I don't know if the Michigan thing has anything to do with it or not, but I think that everybody who is charismatic becomes a target on social media, and you have to be able to balance that, and that's not an easy thing to do, but it looks like he's really trying. Number one, he's getting older. He's getting more mature, and I hope he's dealing with it better, but I think a tool to use, it looks like he's trying to use it. I'd just like to hear more detail, if he's willing to share, about how he went about it. Because it really, I don't know exactly what he did. He just said, I had to talk to some people, is more or less the words I heard. But I took that as, you know, he wanted to try to cope with all of the criticism coming his way, because he knows there's a lot on his shoulders. When you're the high-paid guy, one of the highest paid at your positions, and you're not at your peak performance, and there's reasons for it, you have to deal with it. And how do you meet that challenge? So I'm rooting for him.
We'll come back, and we'll continue the discussion on the other side. We'll have Adam Kaplan at high noon, Elliot Freeman at 1 o'clock. More DDC next. Taylor Lewan with a couple potty words that Elijah had to take out. It's fine. You can edit potty words.
Some minor FCC proofing.
Yeah, it's fine. And we did that. Well done. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Let's go on and do this right now for everybody out there listening on this rainy day. Let's bring a little sunshine into your life. Let's just go on and say caller 6 right now at 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lucky caller 6 to Elijah Campbell standing by at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. A pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, June 25th. It's a little bit better.
No.
Not really.
No.
Not really.
It's not better.
No. There you go. As the phones explode, good luck to you. So there you go. That's Taylor Lewan. He was miserable last year. Then that means he's going to have a really good, really good year this year? Is that what I took from it? That's the way I took it.
Well, I hope so. I think if he's healthy, he's going to play better. I think it was a lot to deal with. There were multiple things last year that he had to overcome. It all seemed to stem from trying to get back in shape from the torn ACL, which is not as easy as it probably seems to us, because in this day and age, people come back from ACLs all the time. When we were growing up, a really serious knee injury could end your career. You would never be the same. But now you almost expect the person to be back perfectly by a certain date, and it's a journey. But I think if this offense is going to be good and what it needs to be. And he went on to say that in his interview. He goes, I really like our defense. He goes, I like how it's turned now. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. I'm not quoting him. But he basically was saying, look, the defense now has evolved into a strength. And it's up to the offense now to keep up and pick up the slack. He kind of was saying, look, we've got some question marks. We've got a lot of new receivers. There's some people questioning whether we can get the job done. We've got to hold up our end of the bargain here if we're going to be a championship-level team. And I think it starts with the offensive line. They need excellent offensive line play. They need better pass protection. They've got to continue to do what they've been doing against the run. They've got to do it without open up those run lanes. They got to do it without Roger Saffold. They've got question marks just like every other spot on the offense. But it starts with them.
Look, he needs to be
Play at a high level. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to be dominant. Like, let's not even sugarcoat it. He needs to be dominant. Of course, he's getting paid to be dominant. So, you know, if we're going to throw out in the position that he plays and the amount of time he's put in this league, the hours and games that he's logged, he needs to be dominant. He really does.
Return on investment.
How's he going to handle that?
When you invest heavily in the left tackle, which everybody does on some level, but they invested in that second contract, you need production there. And if you don't get it, you need to make up for it somewhere else. It's like last year with Julio Jones. They made a big investment to get Julio Jones, and they didn't get return on the investment. It was unfortunate. They had to cut their losses, and they're still having to pay the penalty for that. So that's the trick in the NFL salary cap, and you're not going to bat 1,000. Not everything is going to fall in perfect place, but you need a certain amount of guys to perform up to their contract when they're high paid and then outperform their contract in certain cases.
I missed it. Did he say a lot? Did he say last year throughout the course of the season that he was miserable and he was struggling?
Didn't you just hear the quote? That's exactly with the bad word. Or were you focusing on the bad words?
Well, I may have been focusing. Yeah, I tend to gravitate.
That's exactly
to the
what
body
he said.
Words. Yeah, I tend to gravitate to that. No, I'm saying though. But was he saying it then? I'm not talking about now.
I think when you're face down on the field and everything goes quiet on Monday Night Football and you don't know if the guy's going to get up or not, I would say that wasn't fun.
Yeah.
You know, that was not the knee injury. That was a different injury. There was the game where he warmed up and he couldn't play.
Well, the 49ers game, we know he didn't play. Dylan Raidens, that was his one start.
I mean, that's a struggle. I mean, and hopefully it makes you stronger. That's what you'd like to think. But, man, while he's going through it, that had to be miserable. Because he knows what's on his shoulders. He knows he's being heavily relied upon. And I would think there was added stress during the season of, hey, if this keeps up, I might not have a job. I might be looking for a job next year. So that, imagine the stress that could cause for a guy. And look, these guys aren't invincible. I know he is bravado. He's charismatic. He's got the podcast. He's always the fun guy to talk to. He's going to the Predators games. That's all great. That doesn't mean he's not susceptible to criticism and stress.
Oh, and the penalties, we know, has been a huge issue over the years. I mean, huge. Right?
I'm talking about mental toughness. I'm talking about the stress of an athlete. I'm not talking about his play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he has put himself out there more than anybody on the team, period. And that comes with the territory. It just does. There's a reason why certain guys don't go down that road. Certain guys stay. Look, there's a lot of really, really good offensive linemen. Did you ever see Michael Roos on social media?
Well, it didn't really exist back then.
Yes, it did.
If it did, he wouldn't have partaken. But
no.
I don't think Michael Roos is on MySpace.
Yeah, those were MySpace Facebook days.
No, Michael, there was Twitter.
No, there wasn't.
Yes, there was. Facebook, there was that stuff. Come on.
No.
Yes.
What years did Michael Roos play?
What was Michael Roos's last year?
Okay, in his last year, maybe there was Twitter, but for most of his career, I don't think Twitter was a. It was not nearly what it.
2005 to 2014.
Okay, so yeah. Maybe his last couple years, Twitter.
Last couple of years, Twitter was been around was okay. Well into like half of his career. Come on.
I don't think we ever mentioned Twitter on our show from about 2008 to maybe 2011.
We were not the standard.
Okay, but it wasn't a thing. Twitter was not a thing.
The point is, he was never. He's the opposite, right? He's the complete
yes.
Opposite. He wanted no part of that, no part of that stuff. And there's a lot of offensive linemen where Taylor Lewan is the far, far extreme. He puts himself way out there. He loves the limelight. He loves the attention. He's got the podcast. That's what he'll do when his playing days are over. I'm sure he's going to go. Try to go right down the Pat McAfee route. I have no doubts about it. Right? That wouldn't surprise you at all.
No, and he'll be great at it.
Exactly what he's going to do.
He'll be great at it.
But when you do that.
But you're human.
You're susceptible to all this stuff that we're talking
about. Yeah, well, you probably are more susceptible to the criticism. But I'm talking about just take away the social media, put yourself out there part of it. I just think ACL, big contract. Other injuries on top of it, and that's a lot of stress in and of itself, let alone the criticism you get when you put yourself out there. You put it all together, he was in a tough spot. And I think I was encouraged of what a good spot he seems to be in right now. Of course, it's May, but I think being able to work on your craft and really address weaknesses and be physically able to do it, that's a good sign. This is a guy that was fired as the captain. Remember, he was given
yes.
a lot at a very early
stripped.
Age, and it was taken away from him.
Yes.
He's been through a lot. So I like where he is right now, and he's a guy that's, for a while, I'm not sure it was easy to root for him.
Well, it was self-inflicted.
You're kind of like, well, come on, man, figure it out. But I think he's figured a lot out over the course of his career.
Well, that's,
and you gotta admire that.
That's the plan for all of us.
Now, yeah.
For me, it'll probably take my entire life. I'll figure it out when I'm about to be, you know, worm food. But that's what you do in life. You go through it, and every year as you get older, and you figure stuff out. I would hope so. That's the plan. But has he grown up a lot? Yes. But again, we're talking about the ups and downs. He's never going to have a perfect season. He's at a high-profile position, and, you know, whenever you play bad, you get exposed. I mean, it's all there for everybody to see. And so he has to deal with that stuff. And he's also, there's been precedent, right, of whether it's suspensions, whether it's, like I said, the dumb penalties or all the injuries. I mean, he's had a lot of stuff. And as you mentioned, getting stripped with a captain. I mean, a lot of stuff has happened in almost a decade since he's been here. And for a lot of fans, you're just not going to go, okay, that's all gone. That's all over now. I mean, it's going to stick with until you get past all that, until you change the narrative, and maybe he's trying to change the narrative. I don't know. I don't even know if you can do it with all the stuff that we're talking about, because you're never going to be perfect, right? And how much of this stuff is really going to go? You can't control your injuries. You can control suspensions. You can't do that. You know, the penalties, you can control that. Can't control injuries. You can't control the penalties. You can't control some of the stuff you can't control. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is a good sign. The bottom line is they're going to need him. They're going to need him badly to be really, really good on that offensive line. Congratulations to Cal Westenberg. Cal was listening, and Cal was lucky caller 6. Cal will be at Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium on Saturday night, June 25th. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour of the DDC next. Sounds baseball today, we think. I mean, they are playing Toledo. So maybe has a chance. Toledo Mudhens. 5:35, first pitch. So I don't know what it's doing up in Toledo. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. Back here on the DDC. Adam Kaplan coming up at high noon here on this rainy Thursday. Robert Woods, very good sign for him being out there, but John Glennon, you know, not so sure. Hey, it's a guarantee he's going to be right. Derek said that yesterday. Like, hey, it's not guaranteed. In fact, he went into a pretty good little – he understands how that position works. Like, it's not guaranteed that, you know, once you got somebody rubbing up against you and what it takes, the cuts and everything you have to do as a wide receiver, that his knee is going to be ready. Because I thought it was like a foregone conclusion. Like, man, they're still 3-plus months away. If he's out there now, and I know he's not doing anything like – he's not in game shape, but if he's out there 3.5 months out from the start of the regular season, he's good. DeMay Scherzer was like, hey, pump the brakes. Not so sure of that.
I still think it's a good sign that he was out there and moving the way he was, but I think Derek's point was that's just a part of the process coming back. Because the real test is when guys are bumping you. You get tripped up. You're getting tackled. Can you take the extra wear and tear there? I still took it as an encouraging sign that he was running that way. But I think Derek was saying more or less, pump the brakes. And I again, why wouldn't we when we just saw what happened with Taylor Lewan and with Bud Dupree? It's not always easy to pencil a guy in. Now, his knee injury happened early enough. He maybe had a little more runway, a little more time. And it certainly looks like he's making good progress. So optimistic, yes, but foregone conclusion that this means he's going to be ready to go for training camp, start of the season. It's still a wait and see.
They need him to be their number one. They really do.
There's just not a lot of certainty. There's just not a lot of certainty anywhere in the receiving corps. And there's some uncertainty in a lot of different places on the offense. There's, you know, it's interesting. For years, we were talking about the uncertainty on defense. I think there's less uncertainty there. There's more guys that you have a pretty good feel for what they're going to give you. Even Bud Dupree, to me, is a guy that could really be good with a full season. I would put him in the same category as Lewan.
Well,
he's got
to
be able to.
Yeah.
He's working on stuff. He can really have an off season of training. And it's like you were saying, they need him to be because they're paying him a huge percentage of their salary cap. There's a lot riding on him. But that front four, I think, could be even better than it was last year because of the chemistry and because of the health. I think I'm encouraged there. There's more to be excited about there. Offense, there's a lot more question marks all over the place.
There's no question about that. And, boy, can you imagine? I mean, we would have never said that.
Think it's about completely
just
flipped.
Just about a year ago, can you imagine? We'd have been laughing to think we would be having this conversation. Like, now the defense is good. What? Now, let's talk about the offense and their question marks.
Yeah. Like, remember,
a year ago,
defense,
we would have been like, what?
Last year, 1 year ago, we were talking about one of the bottom 5 to 7 defenses in the game. Despite winning the division, they went 11-5 because the offense was so good. The defense was a big problem. Remember the 50% plus third down conversion rate, the 19 sacks? 5 of which came in the last game. You know, they had a mountain of issues. But here we are, fast forward a year, they made big improvements last year, and at least where they sit now, they got to feel pretty good about where they are defensively. They may have to be a top 10 or 15 defense to get the offense where it needs to go.
I don't think there's any doubt. The defense better be really good.
It might. I don't want to say carry, but put the offense in position to succeed. I don't think the offense can carry the defense like it did 2 years ago.
Well, they've now invested the draft picks and the money into the defense, so it better be good. Go out and sign Bud Dupree to the you know, contract you did. You brought Harold Landry back and you paid him.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone out and spent a lot of draft picks on defense. Jeffrey Simmons is about to get his big payday. Better be good. You went out and brought in Denico Autry. Better be good.
Mm-hmm.
I said again, Rashad Weaver.
Kept Zach Cunningham. I was wondering about Zach Cunningham after they picked him up. What would they do? Because he's got a pretty decent cap hit, but they kept him.
They did. Now, the big question is going to be the secondary. Like, can they get enough of these guys healthy and available, and what are they? Once they get past that hurdle, and what are they? Right? I mean, it's great Caleb Farley is available. What do they have in him? We don't know. We really have no idea. We still don't know.
But we don't know, but he is one of a group. Whereas Treylon Burks, it's, boy, we really need that guy. If Farley didn't give you much, you still have other avenues to find a way to make it work. It would certainly be nice if he jumped in there and became a guy with value, even if it wasn't, hey, okay, I see why this guy, it was a first-round pick. I don't know if I'm expecting that. I would just love for him to get into the mix, and let's just see what the guy can do. Can he have some good games? And in a perfect world, if he makes a jump and figures it out, that's great. But I think a lot has to happen for that. I'm not counting on him too much, but I still see a good defense, even if you don't get much from him.
But, man, they need him in there. They do. Again,
it'd be nice, but you've
John
got
Robinson
Fulton.
Say,
you've
you
got.
Can't, you can't have another first-round pick where we're sitting here going, are you kidding me?
It's hard to overcome that after a certain amount. Yeah. They've done well to overcome what has happened.
I know. Very true. All right, we'll come back and start the third hour with Adam Kaplan. There's just a lot going on around the league. Colin Kaepernick is working out with the Raiders. Could he possibly be Carr's backup? The Patriots? They haven't named an OC. Who's the OC? It's not Belichick. You wouldn't be worried if it was on defense, but on offense, now that McDaniels is with the Raiders, who is it? Steelers have named a new GM. A lot going on around the league, plus we'll throw in a couple of Titans questions. We'll do all that to begin the third hour. That's next.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.